So, we are going to try to tackle two things today, knowing that we're really going to tackle like one and a half, not two. But the first item is completion of last week's shiur, and then the second item is starting on our new and related topic. All of this is under the general heading of Kiddushei Kesef. And we talked about last week. Was it last week? It feels like it was longer ago. So last week we talked about the question of how to view Kiddushei Kesef, Kiddushin via giving of money. Is it some kind of transaction analogous to sales, where you're actually giving value because value is expected? And the way we explained that, does anyone have it? The way that we explained it last week was that the woman is saying, I am willing to accept a certain sum in exchange for entering this relationship, and what you're giving me, this pruta, is a payment towards that. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, and frankly I'm more compelled by, is that this is a formal act. By giving a pruta, you are married. And even though it looks like other transactions, it looks like sales, it's not a sale, it's just using that kind of formula. And we went through certain proofs to support this. First of all, we talked about Kinyan Karka, the way it works in terms of land, and how we view the transfer of Kesef in order to acquire land, and whether that works along similar lines. We explained the relationship between Kesef as it's used for Karka, Kesef as it's used for Kiddushin. And then we started on talking about the application of this to Kiddushin itself, and we noted the Machlokas Achronim, the Avnei Miluim, and the Eben HaOzel. And we said that the Avnei Miluim takes the view that this is actually payment, and the Eben HaOzel takes the view that it's a formal act. Okay, that's a rather scrambled summary of what we did last Friday. Or part of what we did last Friday. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some evidence to support each side. So evidence supporting the idea that it's actually payment of some kind. Take a look, please, at source Aleph, which is from the Gemara in Kiddushin, Dav Dalet Amud Beis. This is a Havamina. This is not the Gemara's conclusion. This is a way station, if you will. How do I know that Kesef works for Kiddushin? Valodinu, it's logical. Uma amo ha'ivriya she'ena nikneis bebiya nikneis bekesef. Amo ha'ivriya. When acquires a Jewish woman as a Jewish girl, really, as a maid, she's young. So we say that Bia doesn't work to create that relationship. But Kesef does work. How much more so in marriage? If Bia works, certainly Kesef should work. It's a very funny type of a logic. I don't even want to go there. It's a very funny kind of a logic. But the point that they're making, in bringing this to support the Avnei Miluim's position that it's payment, is if you're drawing an analogy to Amah Ivriya, that's a financial relationship. That's the way Kesef works there. So to here, it is a financial transaction. There are arguments you can bring here and there, but that's a basic sort of attempt at proof. Alex, if you want to just let them know that it's a little bit loud. So thanks, that would be great.
Probably two issues. One, whether or not you should draw an analogy to begin with between Amavriya and Isha and Kedushin, right?
Right.
And secondly, what's the logic?
Keep in mind, this is a rejected approach, but just... the fact that we're willing to mention it is what makes things interesting.
But even like to bring it logically, it's not logical. One has this kidney, one doesn't, and one has another type, and one doesn't. Each have one type of kidney. So why does one, just because one doesn't have one, and it doesn't just even like...
The whole thing is a very funny type of an analogy, acknowledged. A better source is the Gemara in Yevamah Samach Vav, which talks about the rule that a woman who marries a Kohen is able to eat truma. How is it she can eat truma? We have severe penalties of a non-Kohanim eating truma. How is it that the man that the Kohen marries a woman, suddenly she can eat truma? So the Gemara says, Minayim l'Kohen shenasa isha v'kana avadim she'ochlu b'truma. How is it that a woman, as well as an Eved, frankly, is able to eat truma? And they quote you a pasuk, the Kohen ki yikne kenyan kaspo hu yochabo. When a Kohen acquires, kenyan kaspo, the one who is... in some sense acquired, the one in whom a transaction is entered via his kesef. So that sounds like it's a normal purchase sale type of an arrangement. Rav Guzman does not like this, and the Kuntres Hashiurim, he responds that what we mean when we say that she is kinyan kaspo, it means he has a kinyan with her via kesef. not that she is acquired by kesef. Don't mistake it for being the same type of a kinyan involved with the eved, even though, again, they're in the same line in the Gemara. We're putting them side by side. It looks awfully funny. On the other hand, and funny not in a ha-ha way, the other side of it, evidence that it's a formal payment, like the Evan Ha'azel wants to argue, may be seen in Rashi on the monetary value of Kiddushin. This is brought by the Kuntres Shiurim Kiddushin in Siman Aleph Seif Gimel. The Gemara Kiddushin Davav Amud Beis, source Dalet, deals with a ribbis question, which is good. It makes me feel at home. We did ribbis last year, and it brings back fond memories. So, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Hamakadesh b'milva eina mekudeshes. Right? If a person tries, well, what we think this means is the following. If a man says to a woman, you owe me money, I will forgive the debt as kiddushin. Right? You owe me more than a pruta, I'm going to forgive that, and therefore you've received value. So Abaye says, Eina mekudeshes. That does not work. Bahanas milva mekudeshes. But if it is with the benefit of a loan, she is mekudeshes. V'asr la'asos came b'nei ha'aramas ribis. But don't do that because of ha'aramas ribis. Not actual ribis, but because it's a clever way to create a ribis situation, meaning where the lender gets something more than what the lender provided to the borrower. In exchange for having let the borrower use the money, the lender gets back something that is greater than what was provided. So the Gemara says, what's your case? What is this Hanas Milva case? What are you talking about? So Hi Hanas, Hanas Milva, Hey Kidami, what's your case? Ilema da'az kifa, I added the words that are in brackets. Da'amla baba chamisha, if what you're telling me is this, he gave her a loan initially saying, I'm lending you 4 zuz, and you're going to pay me back 5 zuz, right? Which is not right? That's not how Rama's ribis. That's called ribis. And now he says to her, you know what? Hanas milva. I'm going to forgive you the 5th zuz in exchange for you marrying me. So the Gemara says, that's how ribis malia say. Yes, that's what we call ribis. That was no good. That's not how Rama's ribis. Go directly to jail. Ve'od, and further, Hainu milva. Not only that, that's not hanas milva. That's the case of forgiving a debt. Right or wrong type of a debt, but it's a case of forgiving a debt. What are you talking about? Lo tzricha da'arvach lazimna. So that's not what hanas milva is. Hanas milva is where he extends the time. What does that mean? So look at Rashi in source Hay. Va'amarla, he said to her, Hiskachi bahanazu, sha'at hayit nosenes pruta la'adam shi'faiseni al-kach oli. He says, look, I lent you a sum of money, and I said, you have to pay me back Rosh Chodesh Shvat. However, I'm now going to say, you don't have to pay me back until Rosh Chodesh Adar. Adar Sheni. I'm a nice guy. I'm giving you 2 extra months. Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni is when you have to pay me back. Now, you would have paid good money to be able to extend the time frame of the loan that way. People do, right? If I want a 5-year loan, they'll give me 1 rate. If I want a 10-year loan, they're going to give me a higher rate. So you would have paid good money, whether you would have paid it to somebody else to get them to be the broker who's going to arrange for a longer term, or whether you would have paid it to me directly, that sum of money that you would have paid in order to have the loan extended, that is hanas milva. That's what we're saying. V'afil agar nater lo dami klal, Rashi continues to say. This isn't called money that is paid for him to hold the a benefit given to him in order for him to allow holding the money longer. V'impirish lakach mikudeshes. And if he says that, that's the hanas milva, if he actually specifies that, then it works. That's mikudeshes. Now, Rashi then spells out, V'aramas ribis hu dehavya v'lo ribis gamur. This is only ha'aramas ribis. It's not bona fide ribis. Why? I bolded the words. De'lo katz lamidi v'lo midi shakamina. Because he never specified an amount. He never said, if you give me $1,000, then I will extend your loan for 2 months. Right? That was never stated. There's no number that's been put on this. And he didn't take any numbers, right? He didn't take any dollar amount from her. It's not that he took a dollar amount and then said, here, I'm giving it back to you in exchange for Kiddushin. He never did any such thing. That's Rashi's statement. Tosfos says, I don't know what you're talking about. You're watching a different movie than I am. Take a look at Vav. Umasha Pirish the Ribis Kitsutza Lohabi, when Rashi says that it's not called Ribis Kitsutza, Kemen Sheina Ishana Senes Leish Klum, since she didn't actually give him anything, Lonehira. He says, I don't understand what you're talking about. Kevan Shehu, meaning I added in the bracketed words, since he, in a normal Kiddushin case, no saying that La Ze Pruta B'Kiddushin, normally he would have to give her money for Kiddushin, V'lo Nazan L'Klum, and now he isn't giving her money for Kiddushin, Havikilu Nasala Pruta Mamash. So, she did give him a Pruta. Forget the amount of money she would have had to pay to get an extra 2 months for the debt. Forget that. The point of the matter of it is, he walked in with a certain amount of money, which he lent to her. He's going to walk out at the end with the same amount of money plus a wife, for whom he didn't give a pruta for kiddushin. So of course it's ribis. You gave her one thing, you received something else. It may be ribis derabanan because it didn't originate at the time of the debt that we talked about last week, the ribis mucheres. But fundamentally, of course it's ribis. Why is this? You follow? I understand not everybody here has ribis floating around in their head. But generally speaking, if you have a loan situation, right, Tani's with me, Jeffrey's with me, you weren't there, Zev.
Can you charge somebody for an extension? In business they do, but isn't that not...
No, of course it's a ribis problem. But even here, even if you didn't throw out the whole extension game, bottom line is, the lender came out ahead. That's not supposed to happen. So the Sotosva says, that's not the case.
Why do you resort to quantifying it as a pruto? I mean, in the ribis case, you couldn't even do a favor to somebody.
Correct. It's just because of the pruto is for kiddushin. That's what makes it valid as kiddushin. If it were less than a pruto, then it wouldn't be valid as kiddushin. So Tosfos says that the whole case is different. He says this is a whole different case. She owes money to a third party. And the time came for her to pay him. And what the Chassan did was he paid the third party money to extend the period of her loan. Not that he paid off the debt, because then again, that's much more direct as ribis. But he extended the loan on her behalf. What does this have to do with anything? Why is Torchina bringing this in a discussion about kiddushin? So here's the point. Rashi said that since his property did not increase, right? Lo katz lamidi velo midi shakel mina. He didn't get anything, right? That's not called acquisition. For this purpose, his property did not increase, and therefore this is not called acquisition. And the Rashba has the same language. There is a kinyan, right? She becomes married, but she's not acquired. His property did not go up, so to speak, is Rashi's point. Nothing has been given to him. That's the idea. Zev, you were going to say?
She couldn't pay for that extension herself. That would be her involvement in ribis.
Correct.
But he's allowed to pay for it?
Well, that's the idea. It's called hanas, but it's haramas ribis. We don't like this. It's haramas ribis, but it won't disqualify the kiddushin. That's the It's still haramas ribis. You're not supposed to do this. Please do not try this at home or anywhere else. There are more romantic ways to handle kiddushin. I'll give you ideas.
It's interesting. The word Rashi uses, loy. Midi shokol mina, from her.
Yeah.
He took her.
He took her, not mina. Right. But this is the argument that the Kedushin Shiurim makes.
So, how would this work according to Rashi, realistically? I mean, we're saying that according to Rashi, you're right, there wasn't anything lost, but she somehow became his wife. So how does that work?
And the answer is, it's an arrangement with them, but there's no property. She's not his. It's not like you gave... according to the way that the Kedushin Shiurim formulates this, the view that says that Kesef is actually some kind of purchase price believes that there is a sense that she is Kenyan Kaspo. In some sense, his assets have increased. Mm-hmm. Whereas the view that says this is formula, this is formal, views it as a partnership. And therefore, there is nothing that's been added to his assets. Okay. That's the distinction.
But doesn't that go back to what you kept trying to emphasize last week, that he's not acquiring her?
Yes, and even if you take the other view, that's why this is not an ironclad proof that that it's a formal thing. Because the Avnei Milum also doesn't believe that you acquired her. That's why this is not, you know, such a perfect proof. The okay. So that's one element of that's one argument that's made. Other argument that's made. The Rambam's distinction between the types of benefit that are needed as kesef for marriage. Meaning, if you take a look at source Zion, the Rambam from Hilchos Yishus, he's basing himself on the Gemara and Kedushin of Avim Beis, the Mekadesh B'Milva discussion. He says, HaMekadesh B'Milva filo haisa b'shtar ena mekudeshes. If you do Kedushin by forgiving a loan, even if the loan was in a document, so you'll say this, something of substance, doesn't matter, there's no Kedushin. Ketzad, how so? She owed him a dinar, and he says to her, he says, keep the dinar, but I get you. He says, why? Because when you lend, right, the fundamental difference between a loan of money and a loan of objects, very relevant in discussions about ribis again. The fundamental difference between a loan of money and a loan of objects is milva lahotza nitna. When you lend money, it's meant to be spent. Right? The distinction that we have linguistically is halva versus she'ela. Right? If I'm shoel something from you, I'm expected to return it. If I borrow a lawnmower, the expectation is I'm going to give you back the same lawnmower. However, if I borrow money, the expectation is I'm spending it, and I'm get other money that I'll hand back to you. Right? I may even today I may pay you back with a credit card, whatever it is. There may be no coins at all involved in the transaction. So he says, therefore, there is nothing physical that is being transferred. You're just giving value. That's when it comes to Kiddushin. As opposed to Mechira, as opposed to sales, where he is very happy in source Ches to accept forgiving a debt as a means of acquiring an item. Misha hayalo chov etzel chavero, somebody owes you money. V'amarlo, and you say to him, mechor li chavish shal yayin, v'chov shiyesh li etzelcha, sell me your barrel of wine in exchange for me forgiving your debt. Harezek misha nasan adam amata, so it's just as though the actual money was given. He has no problem. If you back out, you get a misha para, all the different rules that pertain to the question of Mos, Konos, and not. That's not important for our discussion. But what is important for our discussion is that what he's saying is, when it comes to a sale, you can give value floating in the air. When it comes to Kiddushin, there has to be something hard, something of substance. And that shows, again, that it's a formal thing. It's not like a sale. The Rambam actually writes also in source Tess that marriage with benefit from a third party gift works, but he won't accept that for, you know, let me not make things more confusing. We're good. But that's the basic idea here. So this is a little bit of evidence to support the idea that it's formal rather than it's some kind of sale like transaction. Last point within this to wrap up from last week's shiur. How do we know that Shvei Kesef works? Right? It isn't only that I can give her a pruta, but I can give her a ring that's worth a pruta, and that's acceptable as Kiddushin. Why does that work? So the Mishnah already in the beginning of the Masechta we saw last week said it explicitly, right? Kesef and Shvei Kesef, we're good. Why does it work? So take a look at the Gemara Kiddushin Zayin on the base in source Yud. Ho gavra da'atish b'shiroi. A man gave a woman silks. That's what he gave her. Clearly worth more than a pruta. That's not our problem. So Rabba Amar lo tzrich kishuma. Rabba says, you don't have to actually get it appraised and say, these are worth $100. You should know I'm giving you a $100 item. Right? Much the same way that when you give the woman the ring under the chuppah, right? You don't give her a price tag on. That's all right. The noise isn't bothering me. We're good. Bother you?
Yes.
Oh, okay, never mind. So Rava says that there's no need to evaluate it and say to the woman under the chuppah, here is the appraisal, this is what the ring is worth. Rabbi Yosef Amar Tzvichi Shuma. Rabbi Yosef says, no, you absolutely do need to evaluate it. So the Gemara says, wait, we need to understand that better. Ida Amar Lav Bekoldehu, if he says to her, I want to be Mekadesh you with whatever this thing is worth. I don't care if it's worth $5. It's more than a pruta, that's good enough. Right? $5 out of this is your Kesef Kiddushin. Then everybody's fine. There's absolutely no reason to have to evaluate it. By the way, the reason I broke this out in bullet points in Yud is because there are going to be two versions of this. So know that walking in. Here's the first version. If he says to her, I'm marrying you with whatever this thing is worth, then there's no evaluation needed. If he says to her, these are $50 silks, and they're not $50 silks, you have a big problem, right? Then he lied to her. That's not a good way to start your marriage. Hello, shavu, then they're not worth it. Keep pligi the amar chamshin v'shavu chamshin. The debate is where he's honest. He says it's worth 50, and it is worth 50. So Rabba amar lo tzvichi shuma da havasham shavu chamshin. Rabba says there's no need to evaluate what they're worth. They're $50 silks. You're done. Rabbi Yosef amar tzvichi shuma. Kevin did so lo b'kiyah b'shuma lo samchadayit. Rabbi Yosef says, no, because she's standing out on the chuppah thinking he could tell me they're worth $5,000, and I would have no idea. I don't trade in silks. I don't know what you're talking about. And he's asking me to take it on faith. I'm not so sure. That's what's going through her head while the videographer is filming.
Is this a house issue? Or?
So, not the kachtal, it's sort of the other side of it. It's her thinking, I'm not so sure that I'm entering into this transaction. Because I don't know what I'm really getting. He's telling me it's worth 50. I'm not so sure. And therefore, she doesn't actually... You know, negatos is where you enter into a transaction thinking you know what's going on and you don't. Here, she doesn't know what's going on. She knows she doesn't know what's going on. And therefore, she's not really so committed to it. That's the first version. And that's where Rabbi Yosef says, so you need to get an appraisal. Second version, Ika de Amri. Behold the Hunami Pligi. Even if he says to her, with whatever this is worth, who cares? Aprut out of this. Still machlokas. Rabbi Yosef Omar Shvei Kesef Harayuka Kesef. And this is the key. Rabbi Yosef says that which is worth money but is not itself money has the same rules that money has. Ma kesef dekayetz. So the money you use for kiddushin, by definition, has a fixed value, as I added in brackets. Yeshlo erech kavua. Av shvei kesef nami dekayetz. So if it's shvei kesef, it also has to have a fixed value. In other words, when we say kesef works, that means that I give her something of a known value. And therefore, shvei kesef also has to be, I give her something of a known value. Rabbi Yosef then says, Menoah min Allah, where did I invent this? Where does that come from? Disanya, because the Brisa says, Mikesef Mikna, so Bekesef Hunikne Ve'eno Nikne Betvua Ve'Kalim. This is a completely separate discussion that he's bringing from. We make a connection to Eved Ivri Yashiv Geula, so I'm not even going to go there, I don't need to. But the point is, his requirement that it actually has to be Kayetz, that there has to be a known value for it, therefore it has to be evaluated. But he makes the link along the way, and this is why I brought you the rest of it. You see the part where he quotes Yashiv Geulaso, he makes the link to Eved Ivri. He makes the link to the laws of the transactions of Eved Ivri. Tosfos believes in source Yud Aleph that the fact that you use the Eved Ivri Pasuk, that's actually the source for accepting Shvei Kesef. Tosus and Source Yud Aleph, Vim Tomar. V'agabe nezik enami, kasav kra yash kesef yashiv leva'alav. He says, wait a minute, you're bringing me this pasuk of Yashiv Geulaso to tell me that I learned that we accept Shvei Kesef for Kiddushin from Eved Ivri. Just like the Eved Ivri is able to buy himself out or be bought out by giving Shvei Kesef, so too Kiddushin works with Shvei Kesef. So Tosfos says, but wait a minute, I have other psukim that teach that Shvei Kesef works for other things, like paying damages, that you can use monetary equivalents. Well, he says, why isn't this what we call Shnei Suvan Haboin Ki Echad? We have a principle that if I have two different psukim which teach the same lesson, that means that I can't extrapolate from their lessons to a third or fourth case. Shnei Ksuvin, Shloshik Suvan, leave that aside for now, it doesn't matter for our purposes. But the point is this. If the Torah stipulates that Shvei Kesef count as Kesef in one case, so I might then say, and you can extrapolate from there to say Shvei Kesef will be like Kesef in other cases, deduced to similar cases. But once the Torah tells me Shvei Kesef applies in case A, and it applies in case B, now I can't start extrapolating, because if I was meant to extrapolate, then why did the Torah need to give me case B? I would have just learned case B from case A. That's his question. He says, it's one thing to say Shvei Kesef is acceptable for Eved Ivri, and therefore we can extrapolate to use it elsewhere. But once the Torah gives you an explicit pasuk that you can use it for Nezikin to pay damages, then I should say only those cases are cases where it applies and not elsewhere. So Tosfos gives you a couple of answers. He explains how this works. He says, "V'yesh lomar ditravayu tzrichi." Maybe the answer is because you need a pasuk for those two cases, meaning you couldn't have learned A from B or B from A. Why? Because of Eved Greida, had the Torah only said it in the case of Eved that you can pay with Shvei Kesef, lo matzil me'ef nezike mine, I would not have learned that you could pay for damages. L'fisha matzinu sheik b'rakasav l'inyin meitav. Because when it comes to paying for damages, we rule that you have to pay with the finest quality materials. Your currency has to be the best. And therefore I would have said, even if it works for Eved, maybe Shvei Kesef isn't acceptable when it comes to paying nezike, and we have a higher standard. That's what I might have said. And, jumping to the next line, middle of the next line, V'gabe Eved Ivri, it's Yochnami Kron, I need a pasuk for Eved Ivri also. Delo matzi yalef min Nezikin, you couldn't have learned it from Nezikin. Why? Dehava amina Eved dumyu din Nezikin, v'mikni v'karkali boy meitav. He says, because I would have said that the Eved case, if I had tried to learn it from Nezikin, I would have said, that's not what the part of Tosis that I wanted. Hang on. And it's not so relevant for our case. Oh, because I was looking at the Inami. He says if I learned from Nezikin alone, right? To have Amina Eved Dumya de Nezikin, I might have said that then Eved should be like Nezikin, and therefore maybe there would be a requirement of Meitav. If I'm going to link Eved and Nezikin, say just like Nezikin, you have to pay with the finest quality. So if I use land in order to buy back the Eved, to free the Eved, I also have to use Meitav. I have to use the best. Sorry, that was it. And then he brings you the other way to approach it, which is what I was thinking of, the Inami. I'm going to say it outside in the interest of time. But what he says is, if I learn from Eved Ivri alone, I would think Eved Ivri is special. We accept Shvei Kesef because we want him to get out of being a slave. So, excuse me, in order to get the Eved Ivri out, we're willing to accept Shvei Kesef. Maybe you can't extrapolate from that to Nezikin and other things. And if I learn from Nezikin to say, well, Nezikin accepts Shvei Kesef, certainly Eved will accept Shvei Kesef, I would think you can't necessarily deduce, because maybe we would look at the Eved and say, well, how did you become an Eved? You did something wrong. Right? You stole something. You ignored Libnei Yisrael Avadin, whatever it was, and therefore, we don't want you to get out so fast. We're not so interested in getting you out of being an Eved. That's the way I might have looked at it. But the bottom line is this. Tosfos believes that the Eved Ivri Pasuk teaches me that we accept Shvei Kesef. But now look at the Ritva in Yud Beis. V'anachon. He says, "Da'acha pshita milsa, the cave and the gully rachmana de isha niknes bekesef, dumya de kinyan sade, hu adin l'shvei kesef." He says, since the Torah says that kesef works for an isha, the same thing is true that shvei kesef would work as well. It's a logical thing. Once you know that kesef works, shvei kesef should also work. The b'chol hanu deksivna le'el da'atzrachin and ribuya l'shvei kesef b'chol awika taima. He says, all the types of transactions where we need a pasuk to teach me that shvei kesef works, it's because I have a reason to argue that shvei kesef should not work. And he gives you the nezikin as the example. Jump to the three dots in the bottom line you'd be. When it comes to her or a field, of course they're the same thing. And why? He says that's what the Ramban believes. He says it's obvious.
But why is it obvious?
Because why should it have to be a minted coin? That's his argument.
Meaning so long as something has a certain value, it should be able to purchase.
Correct.
Okay.
The whole point of the pasuk, as far as the ritva is concerned, is just to teach me kayas. Mm-hmm. To teach me that it has to have a fixed value, a known value to it. That's the position of the ritva. So again, Tosfos believes that I need a pasuk to teach me that Shvei Kesef works for Kiddushin. The ritva says it's logical. So the Sridei Eish asks a question. He's not the only one to ask the question. You'll see this elsewhere as well. He says, the general Rishonim think, as Rashi says, that the Pasuk links Shvei Kesef and Kesef, the Pasuk of Eved Ivri, and therefore it has to be Kayetz. That's the general approach. Rashi, Tosfos. But if...
Quick question.
Yeah.
What the kites, what... As long as I know it's more than a pruta, what does it matter whether it's 100 or 200?
So the answer seems to be what we said in the Gemara was Pasuk says that Kesef is Kayetz. Kesef by definition, no. Kesef by definition is Kayetz. Pasuk tells me to extend that to Shvei Kesef as well. It's not a logical thing. It's a Xeris HaKosef.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. And that's exactly the sweet, but that's exactly the Sweet Aish's question. Look at the Sweet Aish. He says, Hine, ha'achronim hikshul esvaras harintva u'shari shonim d'shvei kesef kesef u'mitzad svara. He says, the achronim, Tami Karoli, they ask a question. He says, within the Ritva's view, and the others who say that it's a logic thing, im kein amai omra of Yosef b'kidushim chesem ad'alu shvei kesef ariyuki kesef, ma kesef d'kayetzav shvei kesef nami d'kayetz, this whole requirement that it has to have a fixed amount. And Rashi says, because the Pasuk says, ki kesef b'inin d'kayetz, so she does have shown if you don't play the pasuk game at all, so why do you require it to be kayetz? What's the logic?
So I would say, based on the way we just explained the svara of the Ritva,
that's what the pasuk is doing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. First of all, you could say that it's what the pasuk's doing,
yeah.
Which is number one. But even simpler, if you're saying that the whole reason as to why it's obvious that shvei kesef works is because it has the same value as the money, so I hear it even without the pasuk.
Maybe, but not necessarily. I prefer his answer. I'm sorry. His answer, and I'm just going to pull it out of the bold part because it's getting late. I mean, we haven't even touched Pruta yet, which, you know, is not the end of the world. There's always next week. But look what I brought to you in bold. He says, about Karchach, Kinyan HaKesef Hurak Semel LeKinyan. He says, what you're doing here again is a formal transaction. That's a formal transfer. It's not a sale-like transaction. This is all symbolic. And therefore, the Shvei Kesef has to have the same traits as Kesef itself, and an identifying trait of Kesef is that you know the amount. I don't need the pasuk at all. This is just, since this is a formal thing, your Shvei Kesef has to be like your Kesef. What does that mean? It means that it has to have a known value.
So if you need quiet, and yesterday I was joking with you, but this is like serious. So Canadian dollar goes up and down like a yo-yo, so I don't know if I can specify.
So Jeffrey remembers the conversation that we had when we did Ona 2 years ago.
No, he doesn't. He remembers your email from Thursday.
That's better than me. So we'd had a discussion in Ona about the definition of currency versus product, right? Tiva and Pera. And what we said back then is that currency is not said to fluctuate. Even though it does, in the sense that purchasing power changes over time, and we will have to talk about that when we discuss Pruta, it won't be this week's share. I didn't even prepare that point yet. It's got to wait until next week. But by definition, currency is said to be stable, and the products are said to be fluctuating in their values. There's a whole discussion in Bava Metzia. If you buy gold with silver or silver with gold, which one is the currency and which one is the product? Tiva or Pera with various ramifications, la halacha. So what we're going to say under the chuppah is, assuming you're in Canada or a place where Canadian currency is accepted, because that's part of the question,
right,
is what about different jurisdictions? Then by definition, the toonie has not changed in value. It is worth $2, and it just means that all the products you mentioned have gone up or down in value. That's the way that we look at it, la halacha. We had this whole, you know, headache inducing discussion.
Yeah, see, but you're going to use then a loonie in the state center of the couple because
they won't accept. You walked into a store with it; they're not going to know what you're doing.
No, it has value, but you don't. It's not fixed in the U.S.
Here, right,
it's considered fixed because you look at the product.
Right. So we did have some discussion about this actually in Ribis also, with the question of the person who says, I'm going to the United States, do me a favor, lend me $100 because you have U.S. cash, right? And I'm going to give back a $100 bill when I get back, but the currency has fluctuated in the interim. How do we look at the $100 bill here in Canada? Because on the one hand, I could use that. There are various places where I could use it, but it's not the national currency. Ayin Sham or Listen Sham, because it's all on Wayu Torah. But you're right, that is part of the conversation. Okay, but that just shows you one of the applications of the discussion of formal versus non, is this question of why Shvei Kesef has to be Kayetz. Okay.
And that makes it